If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. Of course, giant thank you to Melissa Foles and Logan and Andy Beckerman. Both those were great episodes that I loved recording. You guys seem to love enjoying listening to. Yeah, guys, it's been awesome. I'm loving this so much. We're almost been doing this for 2 years, and we've been doing this for 2 years and 3 months at this point. It's awesome. I'm really proud. It's awesome. There's so many ways you can support the show. Go to iTunes, rate us, review us. Today's quote of the day to get a free shirt, since no one has taken up on that offer yet, is going to be, I love listening to Hit the Mark even on a rainy, icy day. So if you go to iTunes, rate us with 5 stars, review us with that exact review. If you want, you can also put in the dot, dot, dot that was accidentally put in there by me. That would also count. You might get an even nicer shirt. I haven't decided yet. And then email that to hchampod@gmail.com. You will find yourself getting a new shirt mailed to you shortly after. So that's cool. Of course, you can go get yourself actual shirts that are not free. If you go to Zazzle.com, you can rate us. Well, you can, you know, buy whatever you want from there. Mugs, shirts, whatever. It's all there. And of course, you know, if you go to iTunes, my brain is so off this morning, but I'm keeping this in because, you know what? I might as well keep it in. I've been working a lot recently, and my brain is off. And this episode was recorded almost a week ago, and I'm okay with that. There we are. And there, you can also support the show if you go to hitthemark.podomatic.com. You'll see all 180-plus episodes on the side. On the other side, you'll see a PayPal button there. You can donate as much or as little money as you want. It all supports the show. All keeps the show going at the nice rate that it's been going at, which is free. And, you know, it's kind. You know, good juju, right? All right, today's guest is Lindsay Arbour. Can't wait to talk to her. It's a great episode. I'm so happy with how it turned out. She's actually one of my longest friends in the community. The only person in the improv community in New York that no longer is Molly Gaby. That's only by 1 year, because Molly Gaby and Lindsay and myself all went to the same school. Lindsay's a year younger, and Molly graduated a year earlier. So, today's review, I actually mentioned it in this episode, is a most violent year. I've been wanting to see this movie for a while, because I'm a long-time Oscar Isaac fan. Weird fact, I might have mentioned when I reviewed Llewyn Davis last year. But Oscar Isaac actually taught me theater in a theater camp when he was still in Miami, so that's pretty cool. He would not remember me at all, because I was in, like, 7th grade when this happened. That doesn't matter. It's got him and Jessica Chastain, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite actresses. Quickly. Like, she can do no wrong. It's about this couple that's been married and they're living in New York. It's 1981, which is known as the most violent year in New York's history. That's how that happened. Got made. He is a heating oil man who is trying to become, go to the next logical step. Like, he wants the American dream, but in the best possible way. Like, basically, easiest way to describe this movie is like Scarface if some of the roles were reversed. But it's really cool because it feels like a Sidney Lumet drama, which is really cool. I don't want to go too much into details of the story because it's all about twists and turns. People are taking money from the company. The drivers keep getting robbed, so that's bad. A lot of interesting things are happening in the story, and the movie, it's got a good pace to it. It's a paced film. It's a very paced film. Also, I do believe Jessica Chastain might have been robbed of an Oscar nomination, but people say she lost it to Laura Dern from Wild, which I saw Wild. I really liked Wild. I thought Laura Dern was great in Wild. She just was underrated, so it was nice to see a performance like that get the recognition it deserves. You know what? I have a lot of opinions about the Oscars. I'm going to talk about that in the next episode, because I feel like I need someone to talk to about that. Tune in next Monday for that episode. But right now, sit back, relax, or stand up, get excited for Lindsay Arbour. Bye. back. Okay, I'm just, ah, yeah, ah, so excited about this episode. One of my friends that's been one of my great friends for a long time. Literally, the person in this community I've known the second longest. Molly gave me some first longest, episode 20, if you want to hear that. She's also awesome, but that's a different story altogether. You know her from, you know this one from Mead. She is an amazing actress. Lindsay Arbor, how are you?
Hi. Oh, Molly Gaby beat me again. She always beats me.
Well, you know, she...
Nah, I'm just... Molly Gaby is one of my favorite people on this planet.
Yeah, I mean, we both love her to death.
Yeah. Anytime I get to run into Molly in the community, it feels like home.
Yeah, it really does. Like, when I run into you or Molly, I don't run into you that much because I feel like you'll get to see that, do that much of the improv stuff.
Yeah.
Or at least when I'm around.
Yeah, I don't see you. Yeah.
I see, like, once, like, every other month.
But I feel like I always run into you on the street.
We always run into each other in the East Village.
There was one week, I remember, it was 2 days in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
We took the subway the wrong direction.
Right.
Together, and then the next day I saw you in the East Village.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, like, insane.
Yeah.
And you were just talking, because you remember, you were like, I was just talking about you. I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah. I was telling someone how we got on the wrong train, and because that always happens when you're with someone, you think the other person's paying attention, and you just get on the train, and that's when it happens.
What train were we even on?
I was going to a show. Mead had a show in Long Island City.
Yeah, and I was...
And I don't know where you were going.
I don't even know where I am half the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, an issue with me. I feel like... Like, I know where I am, but I don't know where I am. Like, I feel like it's, like, some, like, weird, like, late 20s curse. Like, you're just, like, floating in the city.
Yeah.
Like,
well, especially people like us, we're going all over the place all the time, so it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, like, I feel like every day is just jam-packed full of stuff. Like, today while we're recording this, like, after this, I'm going to go catch a movie, because I have to see a movie.
What movie?
Excuse me, I'm going to see Most Violent Year.
Oh, I saw it.
How is it?
It was so boring.
Don't say that to me.
It was so boring, Mark. Oh, yeah.
It's really boring?
Most boring year. I was in Vermont this past weekend, and we watched a couple movies, one of them being A Most Violent Year.
What else did you see?
We saw Birdman.
Which I love.
Which I don't know how I feel yet.
Really?
I'm still processing how I feel
about it. Okay, okay. Because you're a big theater nerd.
I know. I love that aspect of it. I love the first part of it.
Yeah.
I love the first part of it. And I love the way it was shot. I thought that was really interesting. I thought the performances were amazing. I just wasn't sure how I felt about the second half of the
okay,
movie. I'm processing it.
So. I should let people know that we've known each other since high school. So we were thespians together, me and Lindsay here. So
yeah. Oh, Nightcrawler was the third
Nightcrawler,
one.
I just saw that last week.
So
I liked it a lot too.
Yeah. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal deserves all the awards. He was fantastic.
Keaton's better.
Controversy. Who do you think? Oh,
Michael
really?
Keaton and Steve Carell. And Benedict Cumberbatch. But Gyllenhaal's really, really good.
All right.
Have you seen?
I haven't seen all of them yet, but
Foxcatcher is really good. It's a little bit slow, but it's not bad slow.
Yeah, well, if you like slow, get ready for Most Violent Year.
That's
you're gonna love it.
If you like slow, get ready for Most Violent Year.
You know, it's each their own.
Yeah, it's cool. Whatever. I mean, I like a good story in a movie, you know?
Yeah.
Or good acting. I saw Babadook. It's a horror film.
Oh, see, that's where you lost.
Yeah, I know you're not a horror person. You're all about just watching.
I can't even watch, like, the Scream movies. I get so scared.
The Scream movies are hilarious, too.
That's... I know, but they're scary, and that's it. That's all.
They're pretty scary. Well, one and two and four-ish.
I couldn't tell you.
I've seen them all.
But yes, high school, thespians.
We have known each other since 1-2-9-8. Well, it looked like you forgot.
No, but you just said that 1-2-9-8.
Yeah, I said
1-2-9-8. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought.
See, your face made me, I forgot it.
I had a moment of panic where I thought maybe I was going to say it wrong. But
Mr. Adams is going to be listening to this episode, too.
I hope so.
I hope he does, too.
Hi, Mr. Adams.
Hey, Mr. Adams.
Best theater teacher ever.
Ever.
I love that man.
Yeah, same here.
Does he listen to all your podcasts?
I don't know. I know he's listening to Molly's episode.
Of course.
Know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Mark and I had a fantastic theater program in high school.
One of the best in Florida.
Yeah. I would say the best. We won the most awards at States, which
we always
sort of the only way to tell who's the best.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if Life is Glee, which it is.
Right.
And Pitch Perfect, which it is.
For us, yeah.
And any other singing competition.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I can't sing.
Everyone's a little bit racist.
Yep.
Rides of Florida. Did you guys win at states?
No, no, we were opening a showcase because we won best in district.
Right, right.
Which is still something that 11 years later I can't comprehend.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's about 11
and
years.
People don't get, like, how big a feat it is in the, like, the Florida Theater Conference.
Oh, boy.
It's a big deal.
I'm blushing right now.
It's not just like other ones. It's the biggest one in the country.
And also our district, it was the biggest. I think they split it after you left.
Really? I didn't know that.
I don't know, I mean, our district, which was District 8.
Yeah, it was a big, it was thousands of, I mean, to this day, performing on that stage,
States is the
most amount of people I've ever performed.
Yeah, because you were performing at States too, right?
Yeah.
Your senior year.
No big deal, but Taylor Dear and I won Best Duet Scene.
Nice. States.
Yeah.
What was that scene?
For Frozen.
Oh, great. I wonder what scene that was.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah, it was
that
very
is
controversial for the time.
Hey, I did Everyone's a Little Bit Racist before
there
was sheet music.
I almost think that that's the key, is to do something a little bit risque. Do something a little bit pushing the boundaries, you know?
Well, a little bit. I mean, you don't want to go too far. I mean, like,
unless you do it well.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we...
Which we did. Think, high five.
Yeah, high five. Yeah. Woohoo! Oh, boy. It's just going to be us reminiscing to our lives in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how have you been recently? I mean, I feel like I haven't seen you in a little while, so
yeah,
how you doing?
It's been a couple months, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm good. Meade's performing all over the place.
Yeah, I see that. Like, in every, like, Facebook event, I see, like, Meade.
Yeah, we're trying to do it. We had our year anniversary in November.
That's incredible.
We had a really good show. We had a really good show, and it's been a great year with them. It's been really exciting for me.
Nice.
To get to perform so often with such a cool group of people.
Yeah, they're all very good people.
Yeah. Individually, they're all really great. And
but together,
they're
terrible. No.
Together, we suck. We're really bad. But, like, that's not why I love it, you know? No, it's good. We have a lot of fun together. We push each other a lot. And it's a good time. And, you know, acting all over the city.
Yeah.
Teaching.
You're teaching, too?
Yeah, I'm teaching now. I have been for the past... Actually... You know, UCB teaches at the program that I teach, too.
Oh, cool.
This awesome program, Youth on Stage, the All-Stars Project.
What's the
All-Stars? Brandon Gardner runs the improv program there.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Little known fact, I taught it before I was replaced by Brandon Gardner. but like, good choice. He's an incredible improv teacher.
One of my favorite, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, when I was an improvised play, it was just like, why... Have I not had him as a teacher before?
I really want to do that class. Yeah.
Well, next year.
Yeah. So he teaches. He runs the improv part of it and gets all these awesome UCB teachers to come. That
nice.
Sometimes I crash it and try and pretend like I'm a student and get to have those classes taken. And I teach movement and acting and voice and
nice.
All sorts of things to these teenagers who are incredible.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, little teacher.
Yeah, it's awesome. I don't know if you knew my mom was an acting teacher.
Yeah, I knew that,
yeah. So it's cool to follow in her footsteps. And I was in Ecuador this summer.
Well, I remember telling you going to Ecuador.
Yeah, and I taught theater there, which is also...
That's so cool.
Really, really cool.
Well, what's like, I assume you were teaching in Spanish, or...
Well, so my Spanish is not great.
Yeah.
But surprisingly was pretty good while I was there, just... being immersed in it. And,
right.
And I crash-coursed it right before I went. Still not fabulous, but I was able to communicate somewhat, but we had a translator with us.
Okay.
My Spanish was better than most people's in my group that was teaching, surprisingly enough. That's not saying much. But we also had a translator.
Yeah, it would be fucked.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. Like,
yeah.
I would just be like...
It's hard.
I don't speak Spanish. Like,
at all? Growing up in Miami, you didn't pick up Spanish.
Everyone always says that to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I try to learn other languages, they don't work for me.
But you had to take Spanish in, like, elementary school, right?
I took Hebrew.
Oh.
And I forgot it immediately, because I was in Jewish day school.
Oh, okay. Well,
and,
that's why.
And then, yeah, I took Hebrew, forgot it immediately once my bar mitzvah passed.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even German, like, I know some of the prayers.
Yeah.
Like, in Annie Beckman's episode, I was like, yep, I understand what you're saying, like, in my head,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, like me too. Like I can say it by rote, but I have no idea what I'm saying.
Yeah, like more is Scottish, I actually still know.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, and it's weird. Like someone will be saying it, and you'll just like, jump into it. Just like falls out of your mouth. Where it came from. Yeah.
Yeah. But like Spanish, I tried. Did not do good. Japanese, I tried. Did not do
in
good.
In high school,
yeah.
Mr. Morales?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not pass the class.
Yeah.
But I still have only love and respect for that man. Because
yeah.
I like Japan. I like that culture. I just couldn't comprehend the language.
Yeah. My brother got a master's in East Asian studies. And
was in
a master's program with people who were experts at the Japanese language. And
he was
supposed to be learning Japanese at the time. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was really stressful. But my Spanish, I took Spanish in high school. It got worse.
Which teacher?
Oh, man, I had
Mrs. Cruz, I remember that.
I don't think I had Mrs. Cruz.
Yeah, no one, like, she was, like, feared by everyone.
One year, I remember I had a teacher who left and then was replaced by someone else, who then left and was replaced by someone else, and it's just a joke of a year. And we realized, I remember.
We also went to, like, one of the best schools in the nation.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a joke, or, like, hyperbole. It was, like, rated, like, in the, like, top 500
it's
schools.
It's gone downhill since we've been there.
That's what I've heard.
But, yes. I mean, it's still a great school, but ranking-wise, it's gone down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's misses us, Mark.
Misses the mid-aughts, right? The class of mid-aughts.
Yeah. But, yeah, so my Spanish was okay, but it was hard in a lot of ways, but also it's kids, and you can communicate, you can get their attention just by being energetic, and we were able to communicate just fine, especially with the translator. There were times when she wasn't there when it was funny to watch me try and lead a class and explain improv games in Spanish, which I hope no one ever asks me to do again.
So you're, like, talking about, like, I'm assuming it was short form, right?
Yeah. So like zip-zap-zop.
Zip-zap-zop's probably the easiest.
It's the same, yeah, just say. Yeah.
I mean, literally, it's like point zip-zap.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
They probably were looking at you like you're crazy, though.
Sure.
Like, but I can imagine like a like party course like that, like in Spanish.
There is a mix of pretty simple and games and some complex.
Like, one of my favorite warm-ups that I've done recently is like from Joanna Bradley. Like, she's coaching my team Fallen Socks right now. And, there was this warm-up that she did, like, our first practice that, like, involved us running around the circle every time we laughed.
Oh, okay.
And, like,
I love games where,
like it was, like, whiskey mixer mix.
Oh, yeah.
I forget, but it was the fun. We were all crying laughter.
Yeah. I love any game where... Have you played the game where someone goes in the middle of the circle and they act like they're a telephone voice recording, and if someone laughs, you have to start over?
I've never heard of it.
Oh my god, it's so... any game where it's...
I can't... I'm not good at this game.
Where you can't laugh, I can't, I'm terrible at it.
Like, I'm okay not I will not break in scenes very easily.
Oh, I do.
I break in backline all the time. Like, when I'm in scenes, I'm pretty good at not breaking.
Yeah.
But, like, unless it's, like, the most absurd thing ever, right. And I'm like, that's too funny.
There's certain people, like Jordan Mendoza, if I step out on the stage with him, I lose it sometimes. I can't handle it.
I did a scene with him in the Secret Jam on New Year's Day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
Really fun guy.
And I love playing with him, but sometimes, like, I can't hold it together. And I feel bad, because once I start, he starts, and it's not good. But Zip Zap Zop is actually a game that I hate, surprisingly, and I
really?
Never teach, yeah. In New York, I never do it with my kids.
Why?
All the other teachers do. I don't know. It really annoys me.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't find the point to it as much as some other games.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Fine.
That's the only reason. I just wanted to express that my dislike for Zip Zap Zop. And I think
as you walk out right now.
Yeah. I am furious that we're talking about Zip Zap Zop.
And there is the end of our 13-year friendship.
But I think maybe it's because we were forced. That was like the most common game growing up. I played it in like every class I ever took, every improv, every acting class. It was always Zip Zap Zop, and I'm over it already. Mark,
I feel like I barely played it until I got to New York.
Really? Oh God, I feel like we played it in high school. I feel like I've been
we probably did play it like Florida
it.
Players.
Yeah,
not Florida Players. That's different. That's Palmetto Players.
Palmetto Players. No, what is the name? You're thinking of Comp Theater? What are you trying
to say? No, Comp Theater, I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, the theater group. Like, the play group.
Palmetto Players.
Yeah, that I got right.
Okay. I was the president of Palmetto Players 1 year. I remember what year. 1 year.
I want to say it was your junior, your senior year.
I think you were president my senior year,
so.
Yeah, it was my junior year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, controversial.
Yeah, it was controversial. I remember it was a little controversial because I was running against some seniors.
Yeah.
And I felt a little bad at the time.
Yeah, I know you were running against Agarechu. I want to say Leamber.
I want to say it was Nick.
Nick for sure. Like, Nick ran for, like, everything.
I think I was, and I felt a little bad because I felt like it was their time.
And you're like, no!
But I did it anyways because sometimes you just have to seize life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun. You know, I still like being in charge of things.
Hell yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
As long as you're, like, it's not, like, overwhelming.
It was way more fun than being the treasurer of Thespians, I'll say that. That was just stressful.
And you were that your sophomore?
My sophomore year, yeah.
Because I feel like treasurer is, like, a sophomore type job.
Yeah, but it was an insane amount of money to be handling, I remember. And every day I was filling out purchase orders and trying to keep track of things. And anyone who knows me knows that math is my weak point. So it was a stressful job. I remember it was me and Geddes. We were appointed co-treasurers.
Yeah.
And Geddes just quit. She just up and quit. I love Geddes. I'm still good friends with Geddes. She just up and quit. She was like, it's too much.
Isn't she like near you here?
She lives in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But she's still a good friend of mine. She's an incredible artist. We have so many great people from our high school.
Really? Like, guys, it sounds like we're, like, joking.
Sorry, I forgot that I'm recording a show right now, and I'm like, just talking to Mark about high school.
Well, I mean, that's probably the reason why I record a podcast like this. Like, wait, man, this is going to be like, Molly Gaby's just, like, screaming at her. I probably talk about me right now. Nah, she might be. I don't know. We love you, Molly.
this podcast is basically just a dedication to how much we love Molly Gaby.
Yeah. okay, let's just dive in.
Yeah.
Alright, so, like, what was, like, your big acting inspiration growing up?
I loved Lucille Ball so much, and I always, wanted, you know, it was rewatching Lucy's I Love Lucy episodes recently, actually. Uh-huh. Do you know you can watch the whole series on Hulu?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but I was doing that recently, and I realized, like, I mean, I always knew she was over the top, but I forgot how over the top. Like, she just at points, like, looks at the camera with, like, the craziest face she could possibly make. And I'm sure that's where I get my over the top acting style from.
What? I would never. No, your acting style has always been good in my personal opinion.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
I'm not even joking about that. I distinctly remember The Crucible.
Oh, God, that was one good of my favorite. The Crucible. Yeah, that was one of my favorite shows I've ever done.
That was a show where I thought I was having an anxiety attack on stage.
Really?
Yeah. That was one of the ones that I had really bad, because I used to have really, really bad anxiety.
But particularly with that
job? I don't know why, I just remember being off, like, just realize, because, like, my role wasn't that big, but I was on stage, like, the whole second half of the play, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember, like, just, like, because, like, my collar was tight, it's probably,
Yeah.
And I had, like, 40 pounds of costume on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you felt, like, a little claustrophobic in it.
Yeah. I just remember being in the wings, like praying not to have an anxiety attack.
Yeah. Oh, that's really scary. That's really scary. I have fond memories of The Crucible.
It was a fun experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll never get my costume change. This is my first ever quick costume change. Because we had, like, a fairly... Me and Taylor Deere had a quick costume change.
Uh-huh.
That was, like, a two-page costume change. She'd get off, like, six layers of clothes and put, like, three more layers.
Yeah.
That I remember my pants were really, like, really big. Like, too big. And, like, I felt like I was just trying to keep them off the whole
you should never... Somebody didn't do their job in the costume department. You should never have to worry about that.
I don't remember who was in charge of costume.
Oh, no, who knows. But, yeah, that's stressful.
That's fine.
I have good memories.
You rocked that play.
Show. Thank you.
You were so good at that play.
Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome.
Thanks. I reached my peak then.
Yeah.
Was I a sophomore?
No, because that was senior
junior?
Year for me.
Oh, I was a junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my peak, and then it's been downhill since then.
I don't think that. I do not think that at all. I've seen you act since you graduated college.
Mark. Thanks, Mark.
That play.
Where did you go to?
Moderati.
Oh, you saw the Moderati?
Yeah.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, that was a while ago, too.
Yeah, it was like right when I first went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen that since then. I knew I'd seen that.
Yeah, that was like my second play with Haberdasher Theater, who I work with a lot.
Nice.
And I went with a bunch of them to Ecuador, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So Lucille Ball was a big experience.
Lucille Ball, yeah. I Love Lucy. I loved all the old, I loved Doris Day.
Mm-hmm.
Lucille Ball. I used to watch old movies with my mom a lot. And my mom was an actress she was an actress in Miami in community theater.
Right.
And I always say I started acting when I was a fetus because my mom was pregnant with me when she was on stage in Once Upon a Mattress. So it was sort of...
Who was she in Once Upon a Mattress?
She's the queen.
Oh, that's a great role.
Yeah. It's a really cool role. And there's pictures of her as the queen. They made a lot of jokes about the fact that she was pregnant in the show. They just, like, incorporated it.
Oh, that's fun.
And there's a lot of pictures with her and I in there somewhere.
What theater was that at?
I don't remember. Somewhere in Florida.
Okay.
Somewhere in Florida.
Probably Miami, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably Miami. Yeah. So I always say, I just sort of grew up with it. My mom used to write plays for my classes, and my birthday parties were all plays. And so I just sort of grew up doing it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And doing it forever.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, for me, like, I always think I wanted to be an actor, but I didn't realize, like, kindergarten...
Yeah.
I remember I was Haman in my Jewish day school.
I was Esther.
Yeah. We went to different schools. You weren't at Beth Am.
No, Beth Ra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were at the one closer to where both our parents, both our families live. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was at, Beth Am was closer to my house at that time.
Right. See, I don't remember a time when I try and think about it. I don't remember a time when I didn't want to be an actress.
Uh-huh.
It's really hard for me. Like, I can't pinpoint a moment where I was like, that's what I'm going to do. It just sort of was always what I remember doing in life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, to a certain extent, like, I feel like once I realized, like, what I want to, I think I wanted to be a pirate. That was the only other thing.
Pirate?
Yeah.
What happened?
What went wrong
there?
I probably realized.
No health insurance?
You know, like, none of the perks they want in life, you know?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea. Like, I just, And then, like, I won't be an actor.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for people, it's amazing how it comes at such different times. My brother, Russell, used to make fun of, but used to get so annoyed by me singing in all over the house and practicing monologues in the car.
Yeah.
And roll his eyes everywhere. And at some point in his 20s, he started taking acting classes and fell in love with acting and now does it all the time.
Right.
And it's so funny that people just discover it. It doesn't mean their passion is any more or any less than yours.
Yeah.
It's just people come to it at different times in their lives. And for me, it's just been my whole life.
Yeah. I mean, I was just reading an article about some guy who was like in his like 50s. And like,
yeah.
I forgot who it was. It was like someone that's like famous. A famous character. I forget who it was. But
the guy from The Hangover, what's his name?
Which one?
He was a surgeon before.
Oh, that's,
I guess he was late in life, right?
Oh my god, I'm forgetting his fucking
name.
I
don't know his name. I
Ken John.
Like, I know his name. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was a doctor.
And I don't think he
started playing only doctors, and then he became a lot more crazy stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he just, like, late in life decided, I'm going to be an actor, and he made it.
Well, you know, I mean, if you're a funny doctor, it's, like, one step away.
Yeah. Sure.
Or, like, you just, like, deliver the news, good or bad, in a interesting way.
Right, you're always speaking, I guess.
That's the
first step to being an actor, is knowing how to speak.
I just snored there in a weird way.
Okay, I snored all the time.
I do, too. But, like, I'm just imagining a surgeon being like, scalpel.
Like, as dramatically as possible. Yeah.
Surgery. Or, give me the laughing gas.
Yeah. Like, playing different characters. Like,
yeah.
I guess, I mean, you could do that with any job, really.
Oh, totally. I do that all the time at my job.
Yeah. I used to do, when I worked in a museum, I used to just do different accents every different days.
That's great.
Yeah, because why not, right?
What museum?
I worked at the Discovery Museum.
In
Times Square.
Yeah.
It started off, I worked at the Harry Potter exhibit, and that was actually sort of an acting job.
Right. I remember seeing, like, I went through there, and I saw everyone being like, welcome to Hogwarts!
Yeah,
like,
sorting hats, and, you know, I always pretended that I was Hermione Granger, and, you know, just because I just wanted to be her, and,
way you just said that was hilarious.
Yeah, because, like, no one told me I was Hermione Granger, I just decided that I just pretended, like, that's who I was cast as. And I would you know, get to sort little kids into houses and make as much as I could of the intro speech. It was sort of an acting thing. And then I would go behind a curtain and read the Harry Potter books in between people coming in.
But when I went, it was always, like, Swamp Day.
Yeah, it was always Swamp. But you have, like, this weird, like, 5 minute.
Oh, really?
And I would just use that time to read the books over and over again because I love Harry Potter.
What was it like working at the Sorting Hat?
It was fun. It was actually really fun.
It was a cool little effect.
Yeah,
stuff. Yeah.
That was my favorite. But then, you know, you would get put at different positions. Like, I wasn't always the sorter, even though that's what I was hired to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd just be, like, standing in front of, like, Hagrid's hut. And that's not really that. I mean, it's fun, like, the first day when you're looking at all the things. And, you know, I would act like I was a tourist just reading everything.
Yeah.
And not doing my job. But then, after you've read it 5 times, there's nothing to do except stand there and tell people to put their cameras away. And that gets a little old. But the sorting part was really fun. And then I went on to do a couple more exhibits there. And one other, the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit, I got to be an archaeologist.
Well,
and
cool.
Have this, like, 10-minute presentation.
Oh my god.
And for some reason I decided that my archaeologist was Australian because that felt like the most believable archaeologist.
Yeah.
So I would just,
because they're all from,
yeah,
Australia.
Yeah. And I was definitely not allowed to do this, but I would just mix it up and I would do an Australian accent quite often. Sometimes I would mix it up even more, but mostly an Australian archaeologist. And that was fun to do for me. I once went on a date with a kid who thought I was really an archaeologist, based on how great my performance was.
So, like, he asked you out there?
Halfway through the date, he realized. He said something like, your job's so cool. And I was like, yeah, an actor? And he was like, aren't you an archaeologist?
Wait, so, like, he asked you out at Discovery?
He asked me out, yeah, outside afterwards, like, after he got through, and I was, like, outside.
Yeah.
And I went out with him. This story is so much more embarrassing than that. I was also, like, 18 years old, and
okay.
I thought he was much older. And that was embarrassing, and I remember it was so embarrassing that I brought him to my friend Marshall's restaurant.
Yeah.
So that we could all have a group dinner, because I realized,
oh, no,
that he was, like, a young kid.
Yeah, that sounds like
who thought I was an archaeologist, so it was just a funny date, all in all.
Cool.
Didn't work
funny
out.
Funny dates are always funny.
Yeah, so I worked at the Discovery Museum for
yeah,
a while, did a bunch
cool.
of exhibits.
When I worked at Jekyll and Hyde, I had to do, like, accents. I worked there for, like,
did they ask you to do them, or did
they?
You...
That was, like, the audition process was rigorous.
Yeah.
And then, like, I got called back, and then, like, to get hired, and they hired me because they needed more people for the holidays.
Uh-huh.
And, like, then, like, I was, like, last hired, first fired type situation.
Oh, no.
And then, like, they closed down that one, and then,
right,
like, rebuilt it in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
like, I was doing, like, my character was, like, a complete, like, fucking bozo making up a lot of stuff. Like, I would just, like, make up. Like, I was, like, everyone thought I was Zach Galifianakis. Like, everyone was like, you're like Zach Galifianakis, because,
uh-huh,
I was dressed, like, apparently I looked like Zach Galifianakis while I was in this, explorer costume, that they gave me. And I was doing this, like, really absurd, like, Middle England accent.
Okay,
that,
that's
like,
very
I,
specific.
Well, like, I decided, like, that, like, because they wanted us all to have, like, British accents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do London, because he's not, like, this character is an explorer. And I'm like, well, you know, and, like, I, like, purposely the accent, like, morph into other accents.
Yeah.
So his credibility would be, like, off.
Right.
Yeah.
So you had to play the same character every night?
Well, the reason why is because, like, you have to, like, you have to get, like, approved for other characters.
Oh,
I was,
okay.
I was only there for, like, 2 weeks.
Right.
Not so
much time to play around. Yeah.
So I was just that one character.
Yeah.
And that whole first week there.
That sounds like
a
really cool job, actually.
It was kind of fun, and it was a little stressful, but...
Mm-hmm.
I got free food, and they paid me on the table because they never put my papers through.
Okay.
I was only there for,
you,
like...
You shouldn't admit that. You don't know whether the IRS is listening to this podcast.
I hope
podcast.
They are. I mean, this was a few years ago.
I'm just kidding.
I hope. I mean, I'll gladly pay those, like,
yeah,
what, like, $20 in taxes.
That's okay. I won't report you, Mark. Don't worry.
As my dad, like, emails me, like, he's like, Mark, why'd you say that? Why?
That's okay.
Because
I
know
I,
my
I
parents
think,
was... Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go after you for that. That $20. I really don't.
I'll gladly give it
if
to
they
them.
Do, I'll pay for it for
no,
you.
No, no, I'll do it. It's not a big deal. So, okay. Let me think. Okay, so, I always have to ask this question. Did you hate Florida as much as I did?
And the answer would be definitely not. I've heard you badmouth Florida a bunch on this podcast. I am so loyal to Florida. Well, let me, okay, to clarify, not Florida. I'm so loyal to Miami, because we all know that that's a whole different world than Florida.
Not by much.
Florida. I think it is.
Miami's more Scarface. Florida's just the Wild Wild West.
I don't know. Maybe I had a different experience. I didn't go home to Miami this year for the first year in a very long time.
I haven't been home
in
almost 2 years. I'm, like, missing...
Really?
I am missing my family.
Yeah. Well, like, your family is what Miami is. But I miss it so much. And it's not just my dad who still lives there. It's the city itself.
Because your brother's up here now.
Yeah, both my brothers are up here. It's the city itself. It's honestly... It's, like... The lifestyle there is so different. Walking around barefoot, being outside all the time, driving around, going to parks. It's just a whole different lifestyle than I lead here.
Yeah.
And I miss it. I love it. Gator ball.
I was going to say gator ball like gator 30 ball. Seconds ago.
Yeah. Which, for those that don't know, is an amazing sport.
That you are a big fan
that
of.
That I'm a big fan of. That I
you
have
are a big fan of.
We're in Miami, and we got like 30 people to come out and play when we're home. And I tried to bring it up to New York, and it wasn't as successful, but it's happened a couple times.
Okay. Well, I feel like whenever you're in Miami, I always got to face you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing my job if you didn't get that.
I know.
I take my job as league commissioner very seriously.
I know you do.
And game nights in Miami, it's just different. People are hanging out in such a different, maybe it's because everyone's off from work when I'm home, but it just feels like such a different life. I love Miami.
I mean, there's parts of Miami that I like, but there's just, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. It's so weird. When we were going to like college and stuff like that, like Florida changed a lot. When we were, like, 17 and 18 to, like, 22.
Really?
I feel like it did.
I don't know. It's still the same to me, but maybe that's because I treat it the same. I still have my same friends there, my same routine there.
Oh, all my friends are, like, not in Miami anymore.
Yeah.
Like, one of my best friends just moved back for her doctorate type stuff, but, like, that's about it.
Yeah, I still have a bunch of friends that live there.
Oh, that's good.
And for the holidays, my friends are still coming home, and so I'm the one that didn't come home this year, and it makes me really sad.
Oh.
But next year in Miami.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first,
I'm
guys.
Determined.
You got the exclusive right here.
I have two parts to me. I have the part that can't imagine living anywhere but New York. Why would anyone not live in New York? It's so exciting.
It's the best.
Yeah, but then I also have the small town, suburby side to me. That
Miami's not a small town.
Well, the
Pinecrest
area,
and like Palmetto Bay area, yeah.
Miami is suburban.
Yeah.
And I could live that lifestyle until I'm back here, and then I can't. You know, it works both ways for me.
Okay. Well, you know.
Well, we disagree.
I just feel like a dick now. Like, that's all it is.
No, we disagree. People have different experiences in different places, but I stand loyal to Miami.
Also, keep in mind, I've been writing a play all about Florida, so.
You're writing
a barely full-length play.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I submitted it. It was a spank in August.
Oh, right.
And now I'm expanding it for possibly the Fringe, so.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the Fringe.
I did the Fringe for the first time this year.
Yeah, you did. I remember that. What was the... It was the,
It was called Destiny is Judd Nelson.
And how'd that go?
It was fun. It was on my checklist of things I really wanted to do.
Yeah, it was in the Fringe 2 years, like, 2013.
Cool, I remember that. It was something I always wanted to experience. I got to do it with a cool group of people, a director that I really like, and it was fun. We were in a really cool theater.
Which one?
In the Lower East Side. Teatro.
Oh, yeah. Latea or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
we were at the one that's always the haunted house on the first floor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a big, big, big space.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah, this wasn't, like, a huge space, but it was really cool. The seats were the coolest ever. They were cushioned benches that were really comfortable.
I know what you're... Yeah, it's like a 60-seat theater. Yeah.
It was a really interesting theater. I had a good time doing that show.
Yeah, the one that I was in was, it's normally like a dance. I've seen, like, dance pieces there because it's, like, this huge stage.
Yeah.
And, like, there's, like, four sections of seats, like, surrounding it, so it's, like, a thrust stage.
Yeah.
And I was doing Shakespeare, so that's,
so there are
perfect
a lot of
for that.
People
yeah.
on stage.
Oh, not, I mean, it was, like, a cast, like, 15.
What show was it?
I did To Gemma Verona.
Okay.
A swashbuckling comedy.
Cool.
Yeah. That's Lancelot Gobo.
Yeah.
Well, Lancelot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, don't know my character's name.
That's okay. I forget. things like that. I can't even remember the theater that I was in August, apparently, so that's okay.
Hey, almost all the theaters I acted in last year were in the Manhattan Repertory Theater.
Oh, yeah? Right. I did, you interned there, or you worked there?
I used to work there, yeah. On and off for about 2 years.
Right, yeah, I did. You weren't there when I did. I had one of my plays produced there.
Oh, nice. How'd it go?
It was cool. It was, I mean, one of my plays. It was the only play I've ever had produced. I'm talking as if I'm a playwright who works, has shows going up all the time. No, it was the only play I've ever written that went up. It was, really, it was fun. I wrote it and directed it, which was a lot.
Oh, that's a lot.
In hindsight, I wish I had had someone else direct it just to see their interpretation of it. But it was really awesome to see it, and a lot of my friends came and supported it. And
nice.
And yeah, there's nothing like seeing your idea that you've been working on for a year go up on stage, and all these people come out and experience it. So it was really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But it was when they were at the old theater.
Oh, on the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I only worked at the one on the sixth floor.
Mm-hmm.
I performed on both stages.
Yeah.
And I've had a play that I wrote on both stages.
Yeah.
I did my my first play that I ever wrote that was produced in New York on the third floor, and my improv play on the sixth floor.
Wow.
Yeah, my improv play was weird.
What was your...
It was called Indie Comedy, and it was a 30-page script. It was a 90-minute play, both a 30-page script.
You wrote it?
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, wait, hold on. Okay. It was a 90-minute play, so a 30-page script, so it was like an outline, basically.
Essentially, there were scenes that had to happen.
Right.
And there was things that had to happen in improv.
Right. Beyond that, though, it was a fair game.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I mean, it was not a great... It was a good idea, but, like, the script was okay.
Right.
I had some pretty good actors in it, but it was just, like...
So you're saying that were the improvised parts better than the...
I feel like I made the story a little too contrived.
Okay.
But everyone was really... I mean, there was some really good people in the show, so...
They were all
Carly Ann Bilby was in it. Anna Royston is in it. Martin Ryder, Daryl Haynes, Emily Newhouse, and myself.
Cool.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that.
I mean, like... The script, I want to do another play where it's a lot of improv involved. Mm-hmm. Because, like, this play was, like, 60% improv. Right.
I wonder if you even just, I mean, I guess it's sort of, like, what UCB does, but, like, to just have, like, some lines in it, you know? To have some lines that are scripted that have to be said, and other than that, like, just keep it that
simple. Right, there were four scenes that had to happen. Like,
right.
Well, there was 30 pages of play.
Could you change it within that scene? Could you add things within that scene, or that exact scene had to happen?
Like, it's not like, I'm not one of those playwrights that says, hey, this has to be word for word.
Mm-hmm.
Just the main idea.
Okay.
So, I mean, every time I write, I'm like, what, if they have a better feeling about something, then let them do it. I trust actors.
Did you write in high school?
Not really.
Yeah.
So I started writing, like, once I realized, like, that I'm a really unique character actor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, no one will ever write roles for me.
I'm sure there are roles that you know.
Oh, yeah, I know, but, like, what I mean? Like, because you're, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, as a unique character actor, like...
Yeah.
And I understand my voice. And, I mean, I do like playing, like, love doing, like, real, like, plays are established. I mean, I did Sexual Perverse in Chicago.
Yeah.
Not as the role everyone thinks I would be.
Right.
And stuff like that. Like, it's just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I think writing for yourself is always a great idea, no matter what. I wish that I did it more often. I go through phases, but I'm not in one right now. And I wish that I was.
Okay.
Because I miss it. I love writing.
So try it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just type.
Yeah.
That's really how I start. Yeah. I was like, is this a fun idea? Do I want to see it further? No. Mm-hmm. Stop. Delete.
I'm such a perfectionist that unless I have, like, a block of time that I can't, like, I can't just, like, sit down and, like, throw some ideas out there. I have to dedicate this whole thing to it, you know?
Yeah.
All my energy at this moment to doing it. So, unless I have that, I sort of put it on the back burner, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I understand, because, for me, I'm, like, doing finishing touches right now on the Fringe version of All Is Fine in Sunny Florida, so.
I'd love to see it.
I'm very proud, like, it's weird, because, like, when the play, because it's going to be five plays, probably. And like one of the plays I wrote like 2 years ago, based on something that happened with my friends in college, and then like everyone's like, this play needs to be expanded or like something.
Isn't that cool to see though the process for that long? You know, like whenever this does go up, you'll like realize that this has been going on for so long.
I was felling during the spank.
Yeah.
Which is hard because I was acting in the spank too, so.
You're trying not to take it in too much.
Well, I mean, my character serves as like the narrator of the play. But, yeah.
And is it bad mouthing Florida?
Is it
making fun of Florida?
To a certain extent. Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
I'm sorry, we come from a really fucked up state.
Oh, sure, the state itself is definitely fucked up.
And also, like, the play is not seen in Miami.
Yeah.
It's, like, seen vaguely Central Florida.
Right. Okay, well, that's a whole different story.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
All right.
I'll give you that. And North Florida, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Write as many places you want about Northern Florida.
You know, I know a lot about North Florida.
Yeah.
I've never been in the Panhandle before.
But, okay, yeah, see, this is where my geography, I was like, but where are you in school? No, you're at UF.
I was at UF. Right. I was in Palatka, which is, like, an hour north, like, an hour it's in that weird area between Gainesville and Jacksonville.
Okay.
And then then finished at UF.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. See, I never. I guess I shouldn't talk smack. I've never actually been there either.
Oh, you can. It's all KKK people out there.
Oh, no.
Well, in Palatka.
Yeah.
And paper mill.
Sounds terrible.
It's.
I hate that.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So what brought you to improv?
So, did you do improv in high school, Mark?
So little. I wanted to, like, really badly.
Yeah.
But, like, I wasn't good. And I was told that by people in the actual Miami Improv community.
Screw them.
Mm-hmm.
We had, I don't know if it was when you were there, because I know my senior year, we definitely had an improv show.
There was an improv show every year.
Yeah. I did it, like, my last couple years, and I loved it. But it was, it was short form improv. And I remember I still to this day, it's one of my most embarrassing moments on stage. I remember I missed a rehearsal for it.
Yeah.
And I went on with my team and they introduced some game. And for some reason I decided that I should be the one to go out for this game, even though I had missed the practice for it and didn't know how to play it. And Taylor Deere again, who I won for the Frozen scene with. And I stepped out to do something and I just totally messed up what we were supposed to be doing. And I remember it was something with like Coconut Grove, and I just got on a chair and pretended to be a tree and was like, I am a coconut grove. And then Taylor, like, stood in silence, like, didn't know how to act. It was just terrible, but I still enjoyed it. I still loved it. So I was doing it back then, and then I did it in college at NYU a little bit. And, you know, I'd grown up, my other brother, Justin, was actually in a sketch comedy group in college at Duke, and I remember him coming home and showing us the videos and me being so excited about it. And he was the editor of a comedy magazine. So it was in my family, you know, we all loved that kind of thing. And finally, I guess, like, I'm sure Molly Gaby had some influence on me taking my first class.
She was like already established at UCB when I was starting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I used to text her before I would sign up for any class and be like, which teacher should I take? And she would tell me. And Danabelle also did UCB classes.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember going
to see her shows. Yeah, she's in New York. She's in Brooklyn, not too far from here.
I had no idea about that.
I don't know Brooklyn geography, but I think. Yeah, Danabelle's actually, I was at her wedding last year. She's still one of my best friends.
Oh.
I love her. Yeah, we're really close. And so they had done it, And so I definitely was intrigued, and I had always wanted to do it. And it was one of those things that I just kept putting off signing up for, even though I really wanted to do. And I finally did it.
Who's your first teacher?
Laura Gray.
Great.
Yeah.
I've heard only amazing things about as a teacher.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, no, Brandon Scott Jones, and then Molly Lloyd, and then Eric Tenoy. Those are my 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, we had them twice?
No.
Brandon Scott Jones.
No, first was Laura Gray, then Brandon Scott Jones, and Molly Lloyd, then Eric Tenoy.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
I named a lot of people in a really short time.
I was like, blah, names!
but yeah, I loved it right away. I loved it. And I started, you know, I was doing practice groups right away, and then we started Mead when I was in 301.
Yeah.
And from a combination of practice groups and whatnot, and some of my friend Ernest Myers and Jordan Mendoza asked me to join Mead. And that's been my life, you know, for a while. I've done a couple other things. I'm on a team called Softshell, but Meet is the team where I perform. You know, there are times when we're performing, you know, 4 times a week.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. We've slowed down a little bit recently.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there were weeks when it was just like shows every night, and in addition to like practices and whatnot, and it was a lot, but it was really, really fun. But we've slowed down recently because I think that's hard to keep up when you have a lot of other things going
that's
on.
That's like, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, like Flint at one point was doing like 3 shows a week for a while. That was insane.
Yeah, I mean, not 4 shows consistently a week, but you know, like there would be weeks when it would be 4 shows, and then there would be weeks when it would be 1 or 2.
Yeah.
But it was a lot. And now we're still doing, we host our monthly show at Legion, and that's always really
that's a nice
good group.
Place.
Yeah. And we have, you know, our Triple Crown shows, obviously, and then doing shows all over the place. But that's how I got involved initially. It was just, you know, hearing about it from my Palmetto, Miami people.
Yep. Whoop, whoop. 1298.
Yeah, yeah. And you posting about it all the time.
Yeah.
And talking to you about it. And all my friends. And, like, it looks great on a res. I remember.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I got into it. Like, I've always liked it. And, like, my counseling at least a 1-on-1 class.
Yeah.
And then, like, I fell down the rabbit hole, like, hard.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, like, my first audition, once I was taking UCB classes, it was at MTV Studios, it was for some comedy pilot, and I remember they specifically asked me, they were like, you don't do UCB or anything, do you? And I was like, actually, I do UCB, and they're like, great, like, say that in your slate, so I said it, and I was like, wow, like, this UCB thing really helps, you know,
yeah.
Like, right away, it was pulling some strings
That's
for me.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get it, but... It was cool to be able to
what
be
was
like,
the show?
Actually, yeah. I don't remember
okay.
what it was called. I don't remember.
It was the real world.
It was for Real World New Orleans.
Okay, so we were like 12 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. That would be great if they were like, by the way, I know this is for Real World, but you don't happen to be an improviser, right? They're totally revealing how fake it is.
Well, boy.
Yeah.
I wanted to be on that show so bad.
Oh, I went to those. Did you ever go? Like, I went to the open call that they have, like, several times.
I never went to one of those.
Yeah, in New York, I went. One was at Hooters, I remember.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, in Midtown, and one was downtown, and I showed up and thought they would love me. Didn't even get calls back at all.
Oh, fuck them.
Yeah, no, it's probably for the better that I didn't end up on the Real World.
Like, the only, like, reality show that I'd want to do... It's, like, barely even a reality show.
What is it?
I want to be on The Amazing Race.
Oh, yeah. I want to do Survivor.
I would love to do Survivor.
I would be, like,
voted out immediately.
You don't know that.
Every season...
I don't know if that's true. I can see you lasting
a while. I either go really far or, like, be immediately taken out.
Yeah. Who knows?
Did you watch this past season?
Yeah.
That was the best season.
Yeah.
Like, best ending of a terrible season I've ever seen.
Yeah. I was happy that Natalie won.
Though. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
If that guy would have won, I would have been so fucking pissed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I literally stood up and applied when they voted out John.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, literally paused my DVR, because I think it was watching live, but I still, like, paused the TV, and I was like, yes, yes, because I'm like, this guy cannot win.
You're so disloyal. And I didn't like the way he talked. He discarded his girlfriend's opinion.
And he was like, he's such a fucking little prick about wine.
Yeah. And he got rid of the fireman. What was it? Jeremy, who I liked. So
Jeremy, good. Jeremy's who I wanted to win.
Yeah.
Like, from the beginning, I'm like, that guy's going to win. He's got to win.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, Joshua, I was like, I like two.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, oh, okay, well, one of them's going to survive. Well, I hope Jeremy.
Natalie didn't, like, become my favorite until the second half. Once Jeremy got voted out, then she got, like, super impassioned, and she rocked it. And my boyfriend and I watch it so differently. We have this disagreement all the time.
Yeah.
That I think that you should root for the reality show contestants who are good people and who play really well.
And he goes for the game players?
He likes the drama. Like, he likes the people that are going to cause drama and controversy. And it makes me, he's like, no, they gotta stay around. They're crazy. And I'm like, no, I don't want that person. I want the person that is so nice and
so
kind.
So he would cheer for, like, Colton?
He would have, like, loved Colton to stay around. Whereas I want only the people with good hearts, pure
like,
hearts.
Like, Cochran season 1, I was fine with until I became evil.
Yeah.
And then, like, he was just a prick when he went,
came
back.
When he
back.
Came back,
And then he won. I'm like, okay, good for him. But like,
yeah. But I always
like
the
like best. Natalie and Nadia were like kind of going on an amazing race. Yeah. But like, I was really happy because like, I'm like, Natalie's playing the game.
Yeah, she
the way
really
you should
played
play. Like,
yeah.
Like, I just love how like...
Yeah. It was fun to see her make some crazy big moves, but...
Those were huge fucking moves.
Yeah. 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 Like, I get it. It's always fun to watch, but I also just root for loyalty, because... I don't know. I just root for
no,
the good guy.
But, like, I desperately want to be in an amazing race.
Yeah?
I think that's the guy...
I'll go on with you.
Should we submit?
Yeah,
let's I'm so serious.
I'm serious.
Too. I will like, okay.
Okay.
I will look up the information.
Okay.
I will look up the information.
Okay, let's do it. High school buddies. Going on the Amazing Race.
The Sweet Scientist won this year.
I don't watch it. Well, I shouldn't admit that. I didn't.
Okay.
I've only watched
these two girls
seasons.
That like one of them like broke her hip like all, like 2 months before the season started and can't run basically.
Jeez.
And the other one's just like really feisty.
Did she carry her partner a lot?
No, I mean like she was slower. That's all it was. Like she.
Okay.
I don't know what like she like hurt herself. I know that. Like,
yeah.
But they somehow won.
That's awesome.
Which is insane.
And no, like, sympathy points. Like, people weren't letting them do things.
People were trying to get them out. Like, but at first, they were kind of, like, being, like, they were always, like, you know, like, fifth or sixth place.
Yeah.
And they just, like, stayed there until, like, the last, like, two legs.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I like anything that sort of would test my endurance or, you know, would put anything to the test. I think I'm a pretty manipulative person when I want to be. I want to be.
I'm like, I've never seen being...
No, when I want to be. Okay. When I feel like it's necessary. And I think that I could really use my manipulative side on Survivor as well as push myself physically.
So that means either you'd go really far or be like eliminated almost.
Yeah,
it
has like two.
Like you'd be gone like at like the merge.
We'll see. But I would love to do a show like I've done a couple of reality shows.
Yeah. Which ones?
I did an embarrassingly named show called Why Am I Still Single?
I think I remember you watched
VH1.
Yeah,
but I am no longer still single, so I showed them.
Womp, womp, VH1.
Womp. My boyfriend's gonna break up with me tomorrow. Before this is recorded,
you're gonna like text me like Mark.
Mark, please delete that part.
Just delete that whole.
Just kidding, he loves me. And I was on a show that was called Faces of New York. Faces of New York.
Okay.
Urban Beauty's Faces of New York.
Cool.
Where we were just doing funny things around New York. Not funny, fun things around New York City. It wasn't really funny.
I auditioned for Beauty and the Geek.
Oh, really?
In college.
How far did you get?
Not far at all.
Yeah.
It was the season Nate Dern almost won. You know Nate Dern.
I didn't really watch it. But
well, you know Nate Dern is.
Yeah, but I
love how you whisper that.
No, I mean, I didn't really watch the show at all.
I watched it, like, I watched that season relatively recently.
Yeah.
Didn't really watch the show when it was on TV, but I'm like, yeah, I'm a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And like it was like, they were having auditions in the quad at UF, and I'm like, yeah, fuck it, let's try it.
Oh, that's cool that they like brought it to the campus.
Mm-hmm. But,
it's probably better, Mark, that we weren't on these reality shows, because then we'll never be real famous like we're going to be.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then we'll be on reality shows.
And then we'll be on different kind of reality. Then we'll be on the reality
Dance
show.
Dance with the Stars.
Right, right. Where you're post-fame. We'll be on the post-fame reality shows, Mark.
Like Celebrity Rehab.
Yeah. That's definitely couples therapy, Celebrity Rehab, Dancing with the Stars. We're gonna do the trio of those. And what's the one where they lived in a house? That's not on the air.
Oh, I know what you're like.
Oh, Surreal Life. The Surreal Life.
Surreal Life is like was only for Paris Hilton and
right.
And I know what you're talking about though. It had Vanilla Ice in it, like Bert Troyer. Like,
yeah.
We'll also be on Celebrity Fit Club.
Yes, definitely Celebrity.
Because you're bringing it back for us.
Yeah, after we gain like 100 pounds.
Yeah, and then we lose like 5 pounds in the show.
Depression and not being famous anymore.
And then we'll become friends with Screech.
Right, for sure. And then he'll stab us in a bar incident.
And show us his giant dick.
Right, I hope so. One can only hope, Mark.
You know, this is what we dream about, you know? While we were watching Saved by the Bell as kids on TBS, this is what we were dreaming about.
Yeah, one day being friends with Dustin Diamond.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that was actually not. You know, you want to hear a really cruel joke that my brother played on me? He got one of his friends to tell... I was in love with Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah.
Obviously. And he got one of his friends to tell me after it went off the air that Mark Paul Gosselaar died in a car accident. No. And I remember being, like, very, very truly upset. Being really, really sad that he died. And I didn't know that Mark Paul Gosselaar was still alive until, like, college when he came back and did a TV show. And I was like, what? What?
Yeah, but, like, he did that, like, when this were a start for you. Because, like, he was been, like, acting, like, in movies every once in a while.
It was, like, right after, it was, like, right after Saved by the Bell. And then he just went out of my periphery, and it made sense to me that he was gone. And I didn't, like, do things on the internet then. I was young.
Yeah, like, I had a huge crush on Tiffany Amber Thiessen, which, like, never really went anywhere. Because, like, she went, like, on, like, to, like, Melrose Place or something. I didn't watch it, but...
Beverly Hills
90210. Oh, I mean, that's short, or that.
She's on that,
yeah. Okay.
But you didn't think she died. No. Can you imagine? It was very traumatizing as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, I had no idea that Urkel's girlfriend died until, like...
What?
Yeah. Myra?
Oh, yeah, Myra.
Yeah, yeah.
She actually did die.
Yeah, she did die.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Or
maybe I did, but I don't remember.
I think it was, like, cancer, like, two or three years after the show ended.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, that's really, like, that's, like, it's weird, but those people are, like, you feel like you know them when you're, especially when you're a kid, you know?
Yeah.
You don't know any better.
But, you know, do the best you can, and then you go to a reality show.
Yeah, right. So, that's our plan.
Is there, like, any plays you're working on right now?
This is, like, the longest I've gone without being in a play, actually.
Yeah.
There are times when I feel like I'm, like, in a, you know, this summer, I was, like, did this play from Ecuador, and then while I was overlapping with rehearsals for the Fringe show, and then I've just been on a hiatus since then.
Just going hard with Mead.
Going hard with Mead, doing voiceover stuff, doing...
Yeah, you do a lot of voiceover stuff. Now?
Yeah, I do a lot of voiceover.
Sweet.
Auditions.
We have an amazing voice.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah. Everyone can judge me and you and your opinion, because they are listening to my voice.
Yeah.
And I've been doing a little more film than anything
else cool.
lately, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like doing, a lot of weird web stuff recently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shooting something today that will maybe be out by this airs. I'm not sure.
Cool.
It'll be out very soon.
Right. Mark's secret project that he won't reveal.
Well, I mean, like, it's kind of like MikeKelton.com.
Okay, well...
It's not that. MikeKelton.com is up right now.
Right. Well, when it comes out, we can all look forward to it. But for now, it's a secret.
Yeah.
I get it.
I like having...
that.
It's good to have secrets sometimes.
Yeah, I respect that. I'm doing more commercial on-camera hosting stuff than theater now. And I miss the theater. Anytime I'm not doing theater, I miss it. Anytime I'm doing too much theater, I want to be doing more film.
See, yeah, I just want to act. That's all I care about right now. Yeah, like, that's what I really want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to get to a point with my current job, because I'm still so new there that, like, I want, like, I'm paying my dues right now. So, like, I'm just letting improv be, like, what it is right now.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to act so fucking badly right now. It's
right.
Like, I'm clamoring to, like, have a script in my hand, memorize stuff.
A little off topic.
Yeah.
But have you had the chocolate covered banana bites from Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
That's all you're gonna say?
They're delicious.
They're incredible.
Yeah.
I swear to you that I have at least 9 boxes of them in my freezer right now.
I believe that, because those boxes are small.
Yeah. We go through like one a day.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, like these are dark chocolate peanut butter salted caramel truffles.
Oh.
I bought those randomly one night, so that sounded good. They lasted, like, 13 hours in my apartment.
Yeah.
And I bought a few more boxes because I knew my roommates got to it more than I did.
Right.
Like, I had, like, 2 out of, like, probably, like, 12.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I would like to have some more. And I know they want more. So I just bought, like, 2 boxes next time I was there.
Just get your roommate
tired of them. And my roommate
hugged
me. He hugged me. Like, he was, like, dead tired. I'm like, hey, look what I got. And then he, like, hugged me.
That's so nice. When just those little gestures like that can make someone's day.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was so happy to come home to that.
He was home. Because, I was working.
He was so happy for you to come home.
Come home with that. Like,
yeah.
It's like, if, like, you know, like, coming home from a hard day of work, bringing the wife flowers.
Yeah.
I just refer to my roommate as my wife in a weird way.
Yeah, well, it sounds, I mean, you guys sound like you take care of each other.
Well, I try my best.
You know, it's weird, like, there's not a, you know, in Miami, you're used to being around family, out living with family.
All the time.
So it's nice when, in New York, you can take a little bit of that and treat your home a little bit like a
And also, he's a Floridian, too. Well, one was from Florida, the other one's from Nebraska.
Yeah.
But he's from West Palm.
So. Oh, cool. Yeah, not too far.
Yeah, the other one's from Nebraska, so kind of close.
Yeah, that's like Panhandle, Florida, right?
Yeah. We should get ready to wrap up.
Okay.
So what's it about you that you might not, that people might not know that you're okay sharing?
Oh, you're asking for a secret? Or
something that you're cool, like not necessarily a secret, but...
Okay, I mean, it's the one I use all the time in those improv games, but I played 4 years of varsity badminton
I know.
In high school.
I actually remember you like
know,
always...
other people might not.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I know a lot about you. We've known each other for almost half our lives.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I used to play, that was,
You always were like, I remember you always having asked me, I was like, to sign something like, Miss Class for like badminton.
Yeah, we milked that for all it was worth. We played, we were going on badminton tournaments all the time, and I would always have to miss the musical, because I was playing badminton, that was badminton season, so I could never be in the musical, which is okay, because as you know...
You're like me.
Say it, Mark.
We're terrible singers.
We're terrible singers, Mark and I. So it was okay.
Weren't you like in one like the group musical? Like,
I was
numbers?
In. No.
Like,
oh like, yeah. Individual when events? I was like a freshman.
I thought you had like a solo.
Oh no! No, you're right. I was in the what's the one about being gay?
What?
It was like that might have been my senior year. I was in one. It was a song about gay people throughout history.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
And also, I just remembered. I was like, wait, weren't you in the music? They're like, nope, that was the senior roast that you guys did for...
Oh, no. So Mr. Adams won't want to hear that. He's so angry.
Your roast towards me? Towards my class?
Yeah, ours was so mean. Ours was so... So for episodes that don't
There's someone that doesn't talk to me anymore because of what I did to them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell me after we stop recording?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. Like, sorry, you don't get to hear it. But ours was really mean.
And also, I mean, let me let people know, in case they're listening, which I doubt they are, it was not my idea.
Okay.
I just agreed
with it. Setting the record straight. I believe you. Those things are weird. It's like you're trying to make fun of people, but you don't want to be hurtful.
Oh, wait.
And there's a way to do it, but
I'm trying to remember. Because you guys 16. Were, I remember you guys were moderately mean, but not like mean.
We were mean to some people.
Okay, never mind.
We were a little mean to some people.
Yeah.
Which in retrospect, I wish we had not been, but we thought it was funny at the time, and I remember I skipped taking my SATs to write the roast. That's how seriously we took it at Palmetto High School. I literally only took my SATs one time because I skipped it the first time to...
I can't take them ever.
To write... Oh, you took the ACTs?
Never.
You didn't take any of them?
My first college was considered community college.
Right.
Wasn't really required.
They didn't require it. Oh,
and
that's
then,
cool.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I had an anxiety attack before my SATs.
Yeah, I
did the
they're very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very scary. I did not study enough for them, and it's very, very scary. But I remember it was like a weird life choice that I can't believe my parents let me make that choice. Like,
yeah, because you come from, like, our families are very similar in that, like, are you sure? You want?
Yeah, but...
They're, like, good-natured Jewish families. Yeah.
Yeah. But for some reason, my parents let me get away with a lot, but for some reason that, I think, looking back, that should not have been one of the things they let me get away with. But they did, and I sat there in my living room and wrote the roast, and then
next
I remember
year,
Mr. Adams
SAT
was very disappointed in us.
Well, you got into NYU anyways. So.
I got into NYU, so it all worked out okay.
Yeah.
I did okay on them.
Okay. Well, things looking forward to that does not involve you. Like, I'll play for your TV show, movie, a play, or whatever.
Things I'm looking forward to?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm looking forward to going home in February. I'm looking forward to going to Disney World in February.
Nice.
But on a career note,
yeah.
What am I looking forward to?
Also, I guess that'll take care of like what you're looking forward to. What about like things that involve you, like plugs for you?
Plugs for me? Oh yeah. Well, Mead has a monthly show at Legion.
Yeah.
We're doing Uptown Improv next month. I have a Planned Parenthood industrial coming out. No, you probably can't see that one. That's not for your eyes.
My eyes or anyone?
Not for anyone's eyes. I have just did a film called Finding Huey. We'll see what happens with that. It's being submitted to some festivals. Cool. And yeah, we'll see what's in my future, Mark.
I'm excited about it. I've always been excited. You're always like one of the people like, yeah, Lindsay's freaking awesome.
Thanks, Mark.
Because you're awesome. Aw. Okay, my plugs quickly. At MarkLevy85's Twitter. If you want to email the show, htmpod@gmail.com. Fallen Socks has a show on the 31st at 5:30 at the Creek in the Cave. Come see it. I might not be there, but the team will be there, and it will be fucking weird. Because that's what we like to do. We like to be weird. I like to have fun.
Yeah.
We really like to have fun. We're a weird fucking team.
Speaking of weird, I forgot. I have a new website.
Yeah.
LindsayArbor.com. You can check out if you want updates on me and my life and my high school career, which is what Mark and I talked about a lot.
The whole episode, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark.